Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Sorry about that. Morning, everybody. Ben Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our heads right on a Monday. As you can see, I'm still struggling to. My body is devoid of any fluids after yesterday's long, long baseball game. Out at Escondido High, game time temp of 106.
God,
woo! That was a spicy one, but I got dry throat, the whole thing. Really been trying to hydrate, but tough, and obviously a tough weekend in San Diego sports. One of those kind of turds all around. Just not a great one. We'll get into that and so much more here on Ben and Woods this Monday. I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel. He's the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Good morning, Benjamin.
Hello. I'd say good morning. It's hard to feel that good on this morning.
Yeah, listen, you got to take the good with the bad. You know, you hate losing a series to Sleepy Bob and the San Francisco Giants and a bunch of absolute no-names at the bottom of the order, just taking it to you all weekend. But listen, it's baseball. It happens. We move on. We have an off day today. It's always great. Thanks a lot. And so we'll have nothing to talk about tomorrow, except maybe some Monday night football. We can go headlong into that. But other than that, how was the weekend?
Well, I'm the kind of person who generally, when you give me that question, I say, oh, yeah, it was fine. You know, I try not to be someone who focuses on the negative and complaints. You are more honest, I think, in your answer. If, you know, something's bugging you or kids were out of control, you'll honestly say, oh, it was a nightmare. It was
Standard Monday.
It was standard Monday.
Yeah.
But when I was kind of reviewing that as I was driving to work this morning, it really was just a really bad weekend.
It was a bad one.
Started on Friday afternoon when we had to take Reggie in. I took Reggie in. It was one of the saddest things I have ever done in my life.
Let's talk about it at length. What happened?
His
dog Reggie crossed over the Rainbow Bridge. Yeah. And by the way, before you tell the story, my wife said, I think that should not be exclusive to pets. Crossing over the Rainbow Bridge, I said, that's maybe the most prolific thing you've ever said. I said, when I die, I would also like to cross over the Rainbow Bridge. Why do I feel like I'll be crossing under some other bridge that goes down?
With like some trolls.
That feels like Escondido High yesterday. Welcome. Oh, no. Oh, God. What's down here? Jack Harlow down here rapping?
No rainbows.
No rainbows here, guys. This sucks. That's Jack Harlow, and he's rapping and acting at the same time. Oh, my God.
Forever?
Forever. Eternity. Hey, what's up, dog? Just kill me. Kill me, kill me. So the Rainbow Bridge was crossed.
It was.
It's a terrible feeling.
It really was one of the saddest things ever. I mean, it was the vet
it's the
and
worst.
Her staff
worse.
Were great. And so we went in, and I didn't know. I've never had a pet that has made it, you know, this long.
All your pets were taken to the farm.
When I was a kid, well, they didn't even get to the farm. I think mostly living in, you know, the country as I did growing up, they were unfortunately
North County
the victims of wild animals.
I'm going to give them a pass.
Yeah,
of course.
We had smaller dogs, but this one, 15 years old, Reggie had a really good life, but was falling apart at the seams at this point, and it was time. And, you know, she acknowledged the vet who we've been going to for several years, said, oh, yeah, it's definitely the time for him, and came in. And, you know, it last couple of weeks, he hasn't really been eating that much, and you could just tell. But we got in, and she said, well, has he been eating? Would he like some treats? And I said, well, you can try. And she said, you know, what we do is they can have chocolate, because dogs can't have chocolate normally because it wreaks havoc on their stomachs. But at this point, it doesn't matter.
Does not matter.
Brought out like real, like chocolatey chocolate chip cookies and a Reese's peanut butter cup and salami slices. And he wolfed it down.
Oh,
he was
makes my heart warm, dude.
So happy. And I was like, oh, this is so great that he gets to enjoy that. And the rest of the process went pretty fast, and I was just petting his head, and then I got out of there pretty quickly. And
were you like
sobbed in my car?
Did you sob in there?
No,
I was. It was awful. It's all they're looking at you like, all right, relax. We do this 20 times a day, but it's, you know, it's member of your family, dude. Member of your family. It's very, very hard. It's hard to wrap your head around that. You're like, I have to go in there and hold this little paw. And while this guy, you know, goes away. But the thing about pets is, like, you know, you gave him a great, great, great life. Much better than most. So that's the thing that makes me feel always a little bit better at the end. It's tough, though. Are you getting upset right now? He's getting upset right now. Yeah. See? I mean, listen, this is my fault. I shouldn't have asked you. But, no, it's a tough day. It's a very, very tough day, Benny. Sorry that you had to go through that. It's never, ever,
no,
ever.
No, it was okay. It was good.
Sorry, pal.
It's all right.
Need a moment?
Just a second.
Take a moment.
Thanks.
It's weird seeing him get emotional because he never really gets emotional.
Yeah. It's only happened like
once. And now I'm emotional. And now we all cry together on a Monday.
And then the weekend didn't get much better.
No, it really didn't.
Padres, Aztecs, Chargers won. They looked pretty good. That made me sad. And lost my survivor pool on week one. And my fantasy team has by far the fewest points of anybody in our league. So
it was a dump,
Great weekend. Well, thanks for asking.
At least your favorite football team didn't lose to Northern Illinois at home as a 4-touchdown favorite. 4. I looked at that line. I go,
Aztecs did get shut out 21-0 by a very mediocre Oregon State team.
They did.
Go USD.
Did USD win?
They did.
Oh,
look at the
these
Division
guys.
2 team. 2-0. Fantastic. We're all Toreros fans this morning.
Two
go Toreros.
And oh, our buddy Chris and Charisma, our friends. Yeah,
I was going to bring them up.
Is it Doherty or Doherty? Doherty, right?
It looks like Doherty.
It does, but I've seen Doherty spelled Doherty.
I thought it was when it was GH, sometimes it'd be Doherty.
I think I've seen them both.
Really?
But anyway, Chris and Charisma, our beloved Tier 1s and friends, they lost their pup unexpectedly on Saturday afternoon. That begs the question, you'd rather have the chance to say goodbye, right? Even though it's hard as hell to have to go in there and do what you did. You'd rather have the chance to say goodbye to anything, your friend, your family member. Like, as much as it's awful, you don't want like a phone call be like, hey, Woods died.
Right.
That sucks. No, but like, true. Or like, hey, Woods is dying. Come by and, you know, give him a do the show bits or something in his ear.
Charisma texted Megan on Saturday and just said, oh, like something's wrong. We had to take him to the vet. And like they just woke up and something was off, I guess, with their pup.
It's the worst.
And you take them in, and I believe they went and it was like within 15 minutes or something. They took him back to go do some work, and he didn't make it.
That was it. No, like, it's so sad. God, sorry to you guys, Benny. Just terrible, man. Just terrible all around. And again, you know, that's the beauty about sports is oftentimes we use sports to. Kind of, it's weird to say, but like a good win can really boost your mood, you know, can elevate the feelings that you have.
Had the Padres finished that comeback and won it, I probably would have finished the weekend going, all right, it wasn't that bad of a weekend.
Yeah,
it was all right.
But you're like, that one was for Reg, yeah. You know? And it's weird. Sports is like that. Like, you know, if you've seen it all the time. Like, oh, my dad loved the Cubs for, you know, 75 years, and when they won the World Series, you know, it was special to people. They're like, I watched every Cubs game of my dad. Sports is special like that. When it doesn't go right, though, sports is the worst part of it. It's like, it makes it so much worse. My wife says, cool show, guys. And then Caitlin says, what a happy opening. Yeah, I mean, just going to try to be honest about what happened in our lives. I will say this, though. I spent a lot of time in the heat.
I can't believe you actually played a baseball game
in a lot of time
middle
in
the day well, yesterday.
1 o'clock.
Not just me. My son Bo had a 12:30 soccer game on Saturday. Can I say this? And people are going to get mad at me, but I'm going to say this for real. More fun watching his soccer game than I have ever had watching any other soccer game ever. If pro soccer looked like that, I'd probably watch it more. Does that make sense? None of these kids flopped. These kids, they beat the S out of each other. There were handballs. There were little kids pointing at each other. That's a handball. It was electric to watch the little kids tearing ass down the field.
They do the handball thing in pro soccer, too. They yell.
That's a handball.
Okay, they probably do that.
They do the pointing.
It was more exciting than any Premier League game I've ever seen. I'm not just saying this because it's 2-1.
Oh, okay.
Well, actually, yes. So way more than you'll ever see in real soccer. So 3 goals. Way more than you'll see in real soccer. I had such a great time watching it, and I was getting so into it, too. And it wasn't just because Bo would come out for a sub. And I was getting fired up at the kids are out there. It was really fun. I had a great time, but it was 100 degrees. These kids were dying out there. So they played on Saturday. Then yesterday, he had 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. practice for his select team. Then we had our practice for fall ball at 10:35 on the turf in Carlsbad. I mean, it was 110 on that turf, Benny. It was brutal. I kept him for an hour. Everybody hit once. We took some ground balls and said, that's it. We're banging this thing. They're not trying to kill your kids. One kid would not get off the bench because it was so hot. Wouldn't play. Didn't swing. Didn't take a grounder. He would not come off the bench. I walked over and kind of, you know, gave him a little, hey, come on, man. I need you out there. Let's go, buddy. Come on. No, not doing it.
No.
Dude, please, come on.
Probably the smartest kid out there.
He comes out. He's like, no, I'm not doing it. No. I was like, all right, well. See you later, and just walk away. It was excruciating. And then drive to Escondido. Paulie and I had a tier one game. It was murder. I mean, it was just murder. I couldn't believe how hot it actually was. But we made it through, got the dub, so that made me feel a little bit better. But other than that, man, all my sports teams lost. I mean, it was a real, real crap scene in the San Diego sports world this weekend.
We got a lot to talk about.
That's
for sure, including some more Padres news and what they're going to do with the shortstop position. Perhaps for the, I don't know, foreseeable future. Things not going quite as smoothly with the comeback of Ha-Sung Kim as we were hoping, expecting maybe. And now the powers that be, Mike Schilt, AJ Preller, have a decision to make about what they're going to do going forward. So we will talk about all of that coming up. We'll set the menu for the show coming up next.
Crispy says, what about the Wave match on Sunday? Did they end up winning?
No, that was 4-1. So if you like goals, you saw a lot of them. Against the Wave.
So they
Alex Morgan
so they lost two.
Had a chance at a goal in her last match. Got her penalty kick stopped.
It was a penalty kick, right?
No goals all season. Didn't get a single one. Had a chance before she was subbed out after the 13th minute.
I don't want to play the...
In the big picture, it doesn't matter. It was still a great moment and a great scene, but could something have gone like right and well... like? Magically? No, not this weekend.
I don't want to be the, well, typical San Diego, but when these weekends happen, it's hard not to get in that space. So we're going to do our best to make you laugh, try to get out of that space.
I would like to tell you how my weekend started.
Oh, next. Good. All okay, right, we'll do that
try
next.
To break it up a little bit, because
right.
This was the most depressing open I think we've had in
Might
years.
Yeah. But I do want to thank everybody for all the love in the chat and everybody who tweeted me on Friday after Reggie passed. It was very much appreciated. I saw all of them, and thank you very much for all of that. And we are getting started right after this. Check of traffic with Kelly Danick on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
We've laughed, we've cried. We're only 20 minutes into the week.
We've loved.
Where do we go from here? Paulie said he had an interesting start to his weekend.
Yeah, you don't remember?
I don't know. I was too self-consumed, I guess, with my own grief, apparently.
Mm. Yeah, well, that's why I waited.
I haven't heard this yet.
I wanted to wait a segment after you broke down in the first segment. It just didn't feel right.
Yeah, but that actually would have been a really good time to pile on, I think.
No, when, you know, Thursday, Friday, you kind of saw the weather forecast. You're like, we're in for a hot one this weekend. It's probably going to suck. But it was about 10:15 on Friday morning when I just wanted to get home, start my weekend. And as has happened, I don't know, 50 times over the years, one of you, mostly this guy,
Ben. Yeah. Now I know where you're going.
I'm just trying to get out of here. It's Friday. We just grinded all week.
There's an unwritten rule in the radio world for morning shows. It's unwritten. It's like in baseball. It's unwritten that you don't send your show, your air talent, your morning show production to do on a Friday. It's just as unwritten as it gets. That has never filtered into Odyssey San Diego. It's when we get the most production work to do.
What I did you okay on the production. It was actually our short promo.
It was just the
really,
15 second
yes, promo.
The and, one that that and, you and, I let you leave. I was
yeah, because you had
it.
Production.
But then I was tired. It was Friday.
You were on your way to the vet.
Yeah, and I was not in a great headspace.
No, it was just it's a 15 second promo. All I need is 7 to 8 seconds of content.
7 seconds,
and it took Ben. I mean, this I got it edited down to 1 minute.
You're kidding.
Meaning it took about 7 or 8 minutes.
7 or 8 minutes?
Check, 1, 2, 3.
It was
testing. 1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Oh my God, 3, 2, 1. Look at him.
Coming up Monday, we'll wrap up a full weekend of Mike Schilt's Padres versus Bob Melvin's Giants, plus week one of the NFL season in conclusion.
No, it was close. You were probably right just there. Left it there.
That was my best take. I was so close. Coming up Monday, we'll wrap up a full weekend of Mike Schilt's Padres versus Bob Melvin's Giants, plus wrapping up. Well, I just said wrap up twice.
3, 2, 1.
Coming up Monday, we'll wrap up a full.
3, 2, 1.
Coming up Monday, we'll wrap up a full weekend of Mike Schilt's Padres versus Bob Melvin's Giants. Plus, what did you say? Plus,
plus the first
full weekend of the NFL. Yeah. Coming up Monday, we'll wrap up a full weekend of Mike Schilt's Padres versus Bob Melvin's Giants. Plus, the first full week of the NFL. No. Coming up Monday.
He's a word away.
Oh, my God.
I'm tired. Coming up Monday, we'll wrap up week one of the NFL season, plus the full weekend of Mike Schilt's Padres versus Bob Melvin's Giants.
I just had to reverse it. It just had to turn it around. You were so bound and determined to get Bob Melvin's Giants and Mike Schilt's Padres. He wouldn't stop.
I was going to kill him.
That's the point where I just go, all right, coming up Monday, Padres Giants will break it all down for you, and we'll wrap up the NFL season, and I'm out the door.
But I would like to thank you, Ben, because I actually left inspired, and I went home and got into the Beat Laboratory.
Oh, he went into the Beat Lab!
And I would like to introduce everybody to the world's debut of Promo Woes.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Hey, it's Ben Higgins.
Tryna make a promo again.
Coming up Monday.
Starts with the countdown from 3, 3, 2, 1. But it's harder than it seems to be.
Paul, we're going to be here for hours.
3, 2, 1, let's go.
Hey, good Monday.
On intro.
Hey, it's Ben.
Stumbles on every word.
Wow.
Man, this is just absurd. Oh, Ben.
It's Ben.
Get it right again.
Dang it.
Just 50 seconds long.
Start over.
But it's taking so, so long.
You know what? Maybe I'm just going to write this out.
Well done, Paulie.
Genius.
I think the prompt was a funny parody song about a radio host named Ben who, for the life of him, cannot simply record.
It's such a great tool. I was with our friend Jason Finley from Callaway, and he said, I heard you doing those, Paulie, doing those songs. And I said, well, I've got to do a golf ball Chrome Tour presentation. I'm gonna have him write a country song for me and make it about golf balls. And they did.
100%.
He said it was perfect. It was great.
That's fantastic. People helping people. That's what we do here on Ben and Woods. Great job,
Paulie. That was
awesome.
Now that was more than just AI, though. Paulie had to go
into
deep lab.
Yeah, you put the clips in. Yeah.
Put some work into that. That was entertaining.
Fantastic work.
All right, here's the menu for the program today. Start with our Padres wrap-up. With yesterday's 7-6 grit squad almost got their loss to the San Francisco Giants. A game, honestly, I've seen good pitchers come out and have bad games. I've seen bad pitchers come out and have good games. I've seen mixed results from just about every pitcher ever. I don't know that I've ever seen a performance on any level like the one from Joe Musgrove yesterday.
Yeah, same. We had it on in the dugout yesterday. I went, what just happened? What in the world just happened? What happened?
Does anybody know
what in the world went down at Petco Park yesterday?
My only theory, he went 10 up, 10 down, and then Fernando lost the ball in the sun. My only theory was that with a runner on, and having to, you know, have a runner out on second base, maybe, you know, they could see into the signs, or they could see something that he was tipping,
because they were on everything.
Just changed his mechanics slightly with a runner on base, but that doesn't explain after the home run he went back to, you know, no one on base, and they still continued to pound him for just seven straight batters.
What, they get seven hits in a row?
I think it was seven in a row.
Seven straight hits.
After he had looked as dominant. Really, as any pitcher had looked all season long for 10 straight batters.
No
six,
hit stuff,
six strikeouts.
Yeah.
I didn't understand it. I don't think Joe did really either. I don't think the Padres did. I don't think there's anything Mike Schilt could have done about it. You don't get a reliever hot and ready after your starter goes 10 up, 10 down, and looks as good as he has in years, essentially.
So ridiculous,
and
man.
By the time, you know, it was 5 minutes, and it was 6-0. And the game was, you thought, over. The Padres did make it a game. We will talk about it, get all the highlights in our Padres wrap-up coming up in our next segment.
Just so you know, you're not alone. Joe Musgrove said, I've never had that or seen it to me or anybody else. That guy's
so
been
bizarre.
In a lot of baseball games.
Yeah,
so.
that was crazy yesterday. Obviously, it was a big weekend in football with a full NCAA and NFL schedule. We'll talk about some of the big stories, including Tyreek Hill yesterday in the Miami Dolphins game and what happened to him before the game. Take on Woods comes your way at 7:10, a chance to qualify. We had three qualifiers last week in Take on Woods, a rare full week of everybody getting into our drawing
ties
for Las Vegas.
No big deal.
Two ties and a win. Don't do this at 7:20. We'll talk about the rest of the Padres weekend and the wild card race. I don't want to say uncomfortably close, but certainly
less
not as comfortable as you'd like it to be if you're a Padres fan. There's certainly a path to not making the playoffs here at this point for your San Diego Padres, and we'll discuss that as well. Second half of the program, have in-season Sammy. Ooh. Sam Levitt will be with us.
Padres down to 92.4.
Uh-oh.
That's not a good radio station.
No.
92.4.
I have no idea who they are.
Well, they're all odd, so there's no even.
Yeah, there is no 92.4.
That's true.
We're all odd, but Sam Levitt will be with us. Rindle Report. We'll talk about Alex Morgan's day yesterday at Snapdragon Stadium. Was not a good sports weekend, as we already established. If you're a San Diego sports fan, wasn't a lot to cheer about.
Let's talk sunglasses next, too. I've seen some people in the chat wondering about Fernando, and I think, you know,
there's a conversation.
There's a conversation to be had. Yeah, for sure.
So we'll get to all of that. We'll start with our Padres wrap up. It is coming up next. Thank you for joining us. It's Ben and Woods on a Monday morning on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. 3, 2, 1. Everyone's wondering, why was Fernando Tatis Jr. not wearing sunglasses in that game yesterday? So it turned out that one run was pretty important. Well, every run was important in a one-run game yesterday as the Padres lose 7-6 to the San Francisco Giants. Just their second series loss since the All-Star break.
That's crazy.
Which is great.
That's great. 100%.
It's going to happen every once in a while, for sure. It's just magnified, obviously, when you're in a playoff chase and the teams around you tend to keep winning. The Diamondbacks did lose 2 of 3 to the Houston Astros.
Yep, but who we also have to play very soon, and they look absolutely ridiculous.
They have been playing very well and trying to put away the Seattle Mariners, who are the next opponent for the San Diego Padres tomorrow and Wednesday up in Seattle. First, though, we got to wrap up the series against the Giants. We will get to yesterday's highlights and lowlights in our Padres wrap-up right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame if they lose.
A shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you f- kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
Matt Chapman at the plate. First pitch swinging. High fly ball to deep left field. This one is not going to be caught. It is a home run. Two-run bomb for Matt Chapman, his 23rd home run of the season, and the Giants all of a sudden have a 2-0 lead in the fourth. 1-0 swung on, driven to left field and deep. All that Jerks and Profar can do is stand there and watch as that ball lands in the second deck out of left field. And all of a sudden, the Giants have a 5-0 lead over the Padres here in the fourth.
Things have changed in a hurry.
Fernando not able to make the play. This one swung on again, well hit. Jerks and Profar going back. He looks up. This one is gone. Back-to-back home runs for the Giants. They have a 6-0 lead on the fifth long ball of the season for Luis Matos. And this inning just continues to unravel for Joe Musgrove. 1-0 offering. Fly ball, left field. Pretty well hit. Going back is Ramos. He's at the warning track at the wall. It's gone. Home run for Jackson Merrill. 23rd of the season, and the Padres' deficit is cut to 6-1. 0-2 by Jacob. Swung a high fly ball, deep left field. Jerks and Profar has his head down. He's running to the wall. This one is going to be gone. Home run for Kurt Casale into the left center field seats. Fourth home run of the afternoon for the Giants. They have a 7-1 lead. The first pitch he sees way inside. It gets past the catcher, and Jackson Merrill is going to score on the wild pitch. Padres' deficit cut down 7-2. Runners on second and third with two outs. And the Padres getting a little bit of help this inning from the Giants. 1-0 offering. Swung on. Popped up right side on the infield. Second baseman and shortstop both calling for it. They collide, and the ball is going to land safely on the ground. Both runs are going to score. Jerkson's going to head to second base. And the Padres' rally continues thanks to some help by the Giants on a pop-up that should have been caught. Bad communication. It falls. 3-2 pitch again to Xander. Swung on. High drive to deep left field. Going back for it is Ramos. He looks up. It's gone. Two-run home run for Xander Bogaerts. His ninth long ball of the season. It reaches the second deck in left field, and the Padres now trail 7-6. Right-hander's 2-1 offering. Oh. Swung on. Driven down the right field line and deep. Going back for it is Yastrzemski in foul territory, reaches up and makes the catch for the final out. Jerkson gave it a ride, but Mike Yastrzemski able to run it down in foul territory right next to the wall for the final out, and the Padres are going to come up short in their come-from-behind bid. They lose the final game to the Giants by a score of 7-6. They drop the series 2-1.
Did you hear that? Ned, the last swing of the game yesterday, Jerkson Profar, and he kind of jumped when he hit it and reacted. And
play
I
it
saw
one more time.
Right-hander's 2-1 offering.
Oh,
swung
there
on.
There it is.
Thought he had it.
That I don't know that I don't know that I've ever heard Tony do that when it wasn't at least a ringing double. Usually it's a home run when he gives that noise, and Tony knows, he's seen plenty of well-struck balls over the years, right. That's usually a sign something good, very good, is about to happen for the San Diego Padres. Now, I was watching, and Jurickson's reaction, I jumped out of my chair, like, did he just do it again? Did he tie the game with two outs in the ninth, and it just kind of died? It hooked foul and died in the corner and was caught for the final out of the game, but I was excited, too. So I was not the only one fooled, I guess, by that, as Tony Gwynn Jr. gave us the little, and it turned out not to be. The grit squad comes up short in a 7-6 loss to the San Francisco Giants.
Fernando Tatis Jr. was fooled on that hit to right field. The very high pop-up, you know, I mean, it's a no-touch double. I mean, he didn't get glove on it, I don't think, or did he?
Knocked his glove off.
Was that it? I thought, yeah. So he was talking about after the game, he's like, look, I can't really play in sunglasses at all. Like, I've tried it with them, tried it without them. He says, quote, sunglasses for me are worse than when you have the sun right on top of you because it goes way darker. I've tried everything. I've played with sunglasses without. It's way better without them. Nothing you can do at that point. Sun is unbeatable. Saw it happen in Chicago as well. Their center fielder went back for a ball, had a bead on it the whole time, and then just disappeared. You saw Jurickson Profar lose one in that weird bank of lights that he's lost several in, but usually makes the catch out in left field. That was on Friday night, I believe.
That's been a net positive for the Padres because as Jurickson sometimes looks a little shaky, almost always makes the catch, whereas some opposing fielders
have lost
those balls in the bank of lights.
Yeah, but the sun thing I actually get it. I can't.
From
really,
way out in right field?
You can't.
I get it.
The high sun, you know, it's one of those things, man. If you can pick it up off the bat, then you got to use your hand or your glove, and it's just.
I bet you if he's playing shortstop, he's probably wearing sunglasses.
Yeah, potentially.
I think it's being that far away from the plate, seeing the ball off the bat. You want to make sure you can see it as best as you possibly can.
I don't know how they catch 50% of the balls with all the people in the stands and everything else. I mean, it's maddening to think about. It's fairly easy in an empty stadium to catch one like that with the blue seats in the background, all the people. But no, he booted it, man. He booted it. And yeah, I mean, Joe Musgrove at that point, as soon as he booted that, next pitch, home run.
That was going to be 11 up, 11 down.
Yeah.
He had retired the first 10 in order.
And that'll mess with you.
Six strikeouts.
That'll mess with you.
And that pitch was the first pitch of the at-bat. It was dropped for the double. 9 pitches later, it was 6-0 Giants.
It's insane. Craziest thing I've ever seen, man. And like Joe said, craziest thing he's ever seen, too. Never seen that happen to anybody. It is very weird. It's happened a couple times recently where the starting pitcher looks really, really dialed in. And it's happened to Cease. It's happened to Joe now. They're very, very dialed in, you know, pounding the zone. Everything's spinning. They're putting it where they want. And then all of a sudden, it goes away.
Cease goes the other way sometimes. He looks like
terrible.
And then all of a sudden, unhittable the last 2 or 3 innings of his start. Where was this earlier in the game?
Tough. But it sucked.
What happened to Joe yesterday was as dramatic as I've ever seen, going from completely locked in to just can't get an out. I mean, it was not a good pitch to Matt Chapman.
No.
That was a fastball right down the middle. It was a clear mistake. Some of them were good pitches. I mean, he had a sweeper that was right on the outside corner that somehow was hit for a home run on one of those. The singles weren't necessarily hard hit. It was some bad luck, some bad pitches, and it just all combined to let that game get away. Padres did come back. I think one of the frustrating elements, and I don't want to belabor Alec Jacob. He did a good job. You're going to take 2 2/3 innings, 1 earned run from your last guy in the bullpen who's trying to save the rest of your pen every single time. But the 1 run kind of hurt.
That was a big one.
Backup catcher who has not hit a home run all season long, and Kurt Casale, that ended up being the winning run of the game, the 7th run that the Giants would need to hold off the late Padres comeback, which, you know, they continue to
fight.
It's not just the fight. At this point, that's expected. They get results every single time, too. And that's why, ultimately, well, yes, I'm nervous because I'm a Padres fan and the race is very close and someone's not going to make the playoffs out of the Padres, the Diamondbacks, the Braves, and the Mets. And all 4 teams probably feel like, yeah, we deserve to make the playoffs the way that we've played. But one of them is not going to be there. Maybe someone collapses the last 3 weeks. I doubt it. I bet they're all going to play pretty well. And in the end, someone's going to win 90 games and they're going to be home. And that's going to be rough for that team and their fan base. But ultimately, I still don't see any glaring concerns for your San Diego Padres.
Just the one that is probably going to be the topic du jour today is probably the shortstop scene. I will say this. Bill makes a great point. He said, weird S starting to happen. And it started with that grand slam off Suarez. Yeah, man, you're a strike away from winning a ball game to sweep a series. And a nine-hole hitter sticks his bat out, takes a 101.9-mile-an-hour fastball, outer half, and knocks it out of the ballpark. And, oh, okay, that was a bit jarring. They came back, played great in their next game on Friday night. Just spectacular win. Everything went right. And then, you know, we'll get into the other two games. We just got into yesterday's game. But the weird things are happening where before the weird things were happening to the other teams. Just need a bit of a luck switch here. I think they're still playing pretty decent ball. I think they're still pitching okay. The biggest question going forward is, okay, well, our cavalry that was supposed to come, there was one man left on the cavalry, and it doesn't, like, is this absurd to say? Have we seen the last of Ha-Sun Kim in a Padres uniform?
Wow, I had not gone to those lengths.
The depths of my despair.
So Mike Schilt, the report on Ha-Sun Kim was that, you know, he's swinging the bat, but the throw from shortstop continues to give him trouble. He can't throw it full strength. You can't play shortstop if you can't make that throw. And he's not, while getting worse, he's really not making any strides toward feeling better on that throw, which means at this point he has to remain on the injured list, and the Padres have continued to go with Mason McCoy. We had Mason McCoy on last
week.
Like him,
great guy.
He's not an everyday major league shortstop.
No.
And the Padres now have to make a tough decision about what they're going to do going forward. If they were 6 or 7 games up in the wild card race, fine.
If they're the Dodgers, they're good.
Mason McCoy out there. Just keep working on Ha-Sun Kim. But at this point, as the games become very critical toward making sure you make the playoffs, it becomes less and less tenable to play Mason McCoy every day. I don't think playing Tyler Wade there is an answer either.
He's on my list.
Which means you have to move one of your myriad shortstops who are playing other positions back to shortstop temporarily. And the first most likely candidate is the guy who has been doing it late in games and did it yesterday as well. And that is Xander Bogaerts, who showed some reluctance to, of course, move to second base originally. And then once again showed some reluctance once he had made all those changes, and I understandably so, to move to second base to then just be flipped right back to shortstop in a time of need. But if you saw his comments yesterday, you have to think he's becoming a little more amenable to it. And I'm referring to the comments he made about Donovan Solano, his teammate, when he said, really, it's a shame. I'm paraphrasing here.
It just sucks him not playing.
Not playing, yes. That it's a shame that Donovan, with his bat, can't get into the lineup. Well, the one way Donovan Solano could get into the lineup every day would be by playing first base, having Jake Cronenworth play second, Xander Bogaerts at short, Luis Arraez is designated hitter, and Mason McCoy is not on the bench, or is on the bench, or not on the team, whatever it is. That would be your best offensive lineup on a day-to-day basis. It has to have Xander Bogaerts at shortstop if you want your best offensive lineup in there. And I don't think there's any really other logical alternatives to that.
Yeah, well, and now with that news, I think that changes everything for Xander Bogaerts as well. Like, hey, man, I after moving me here, it was a big deal. I'm getting comfortable finally. Now you want to move me back for what? What are we talking, 10 games? No, man, let's roll with McCoy, let's tread water, whatever. And now when the news comes out that Kimmy is potentially not coming back, and he's, what, a free agent after this year, Benny, it could be the last we see of him. Now, somebody made the point on Twitter, I think you tell Xander, all right, you're our shortstop in 2025 as well. Go, start now. You know what I mean? I wonder if that does anything for him. And just says, hey, you go now. I need you to, we're sorry, but we need to embrace it. Do we want to win a World Series or not? Go out there and get it. We're going to give it to you next year because you got Leo coming up through the system. I would just tell him, you're here until DeRees gets here. So it could be 3 years, could be
Slide
4 years, could be five.
Go to first.
I don't know that you can promise that, though. If you get to 2025 and we don't know who is going to be on that team, what trades might be available to A.J. Preller. I mean, if they pick up extra outfielders this offseason, like, hey, we were able to sign a terrific outfielder, you may need to move Jackson Merrill back to shortstop at some point. And you can't necessarily promise with 100% certainty that Xander Bogaerts can play shortstop next season or for the next couple of years until Leo Dallas DeVries is ready.
Then you tell him...
You can't even promise DeVries that shortstop will be his position in the future.
And what if in 2 weeks Kim's feeling better? Then do you move Xander back or do you stick Kim over
to second? And Kim,
all tells me, though, that with 3 weeks left of the season, I mean, they're saying he's not progressing as much as they would like. And can't make a throw.
That sounds like it's code for he's pretty far away.
So. But that doesn't mean that in 2.5 weeks, and if you're still going to the playoffs, he's going to be your best option to be a playoff shortstop. So are you going to move Xander back then to second base when Kim comes back, if he does, in time for the postseason?
Yeah, and I don't want this
next year if you can't even promise him the rest of this year.
I don't want this to. This doesn't. I'm not mad at Xander Bogaerts. It's not his fault. You signed him as a $280 million shortstop. You moved him off of shortstop after a year. He was visibly. I mean, again, that's what he came up playing. That's what he knows how to play. Feels like he can still play there, and you moved him to second, and now you want to move him back? Yeah, I mean, I kind of understand where he's coming from, but I'm also of the mindset that he's finally of the mindset of like, all right, whatever we need to do, just do it, you know? And again, like, Xander, let's go try to win a World Series here.
Now, you did sign Nick Ahmed, who's like, at this point, the rental car that no one's taken good care of and just gets, you know,
passed around
and trashed and then turned back in at the end of, you know, however long that you've rented him for, but you could go with a more experienced major league commodity there temporarily at shortstop instead of Mason McCoy. I just don't know that that's going to be much of an upgrade.
I mean, he can pick it. That's for sure. The good dude's got a ridiculous glove.
So can Mason McCoy. Defensively, that has not been the issue.
That's true. Ahmed has been in big games. He has played in big games. You know,
Can he hit in big games?
Can he hit better than Mason McCoy?
I trust Mason McCoy defensively. The question is whether he can do anything at all offensively.
Yeah.
And if he can, then he would be an upgrade over Mason McCoy.
Yeah.
Whose at-bats have looked lost the last week. He had a good first, five, six games?
Yeah. Getting on
since
base.
Since that, he's
bunted or he's, you know.
Since that, he's looked lost at the plate.
Hitting in double
plays. Strikeout, double play, strikeout, double play.
I mean, I understand where everyone's coming from. And I think my general personality is one of whatever it takes to win a World Series, that's what these guys should be doing. But it's not like I don't see their point. Is Xander Bogaerts really, is he that great of a shortstop anymore? You know what I'm saying? He's better, and he's better offensively. Is Donovan Solano a good first baseman? This is just where you're at with the injuries of this team. So this isn't some, we're going to explode once this happened. No, I'm still nervous about that. Are you guys not? I mean, I absolutely am nervous about Solano at first and Xander at short.
Couple of scintillating games yesterday in week one of the NFL. We'll get to that. Take on Woods coming up next year on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.